he does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is a live shot at the Gate 5 atrium at Air Canada Centre. Podium awaiting Toronto Maple Leaf General Manager Dave Nonis, MLSE CEO and President Tim Leiweke, and newly named President of the Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan. His introduction this hour on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet. Welcome to Hockey Central. And this special will take you right through the noon hour on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard along with Scott Morrison, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. His resume reads 600 goals, 2,000 penalty minutes, 3 Stanley Cups, 1 Olympic gold medal. He is Brendan Shanahan, and he's already met with the players this morning and told them to expect changes this summer. What are some of those changes?
Well, I think first off, they're going to have to do a role definition of what Nonis's role is versus what the new president's role is. And then they will move to a coaching decision, and then they'll have to move to a free agency. And what are they going to do? Who are they going to re-sign and trade potential? Lots of things on the table to keep them busy for a couple of months.
And technically, whether it is just president of the Toronto Maple Leafs or president slash player personnel, but it's not on the business card. Those things have to be crystal clear in terms of the relationship moving forward between Brendan Shanahan and Nonis. As soon as they figure it out, then we can figure out a lot more.
Air Canada Centre getting set for the introduction of Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He also spent 5 years in the league office after he retired from the National Hockey League, starting in business development and moving on to director of player safety. So he's got experience in running his own department, and now he takes over a hockey club and an organization that has suffered through 47 years since its last championship, but more importantly, has endured 3 straight years of utter complete collapse. A couple of years ago, it cost Ron Wilson his job as head coach. Randy Carlyle came on board. Eventually, Brian Burke, the general manager, was sent packing, and now Randy Carlyle hangs in the balance. It's Brendan Shanahan, Tim Leiweke, and Dave Nonis at the podium at Air Canada Centre. And Scott, this is a scenario where Shanahan takes over this job, and there's going to be expectations to make something happen.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And obviously, because of what's happened over these last 3 seasons, the disappointment, the monumental collapses, that there has to be a change within that organization. And how hands-on he's going to be with the hockey operations and how much control autonomy Dave Nonis has is going to be fascinating to find out today.
Do you expect this to be a gradual process, Nick?
No, I don't. Not based on what's happened, and you mentioned it, the last 3 years. No, people want results now, and Brendan Shanahan made that abundantly clear, apparently, when he addressed his players this morning.
Here is the Senior Director of Communications for MLSE, Dave Haggath.
Good morning. My name is Dave Haggath with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. It's my pleasure to welcome you to today's announcement with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'd also like to welcome those watching live on TSN, Rogers Sportsnet, and Leafs TV. Before I introduce our head table, the format for today's press conference will be comments from our 3 speakers, followed by questions. If you could please just wait before asking your question until we have a microphone available for you, just so your questions can be heard both in the room and on television. It's now my pleasure to welcome our 3 head table participants, beginning with Mr. Tim Leiweke, President and CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Seated beside Tim is Brendan Shanahan, President and Alternate Governor for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And at the far end of the table, Dave Nonis, Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Leafs. I'd like to now turn it over to Tim Leiweke.
Thanks, Dave. It's a tough day today. I would prefer that we were not here having this conversation today, but we are. But sometimes through difficulty arises great opportunity. And this is not only a great opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I think the right opportunity for both Brendan and for our organization. It's no secret to those that have been around this organization the last year, we're big on character. I spent a lot of time talking about culture and character. I'm very proud of the job that Masai and his team have done with what's happened with the Raptors and obviously with TFC. Although it's a work in progress, it's a different soccer club today than one last year. And I think a lot of that is the commitment we made to create the right environment, to hire the right people, to create the right culture. I'm not sure the Leafs have it. This is something that these two gentlemen now are going to have to work on. But I definitely sense that we lack an identity. And right now we're a team that lacks a direction. And we want to change that. Last summer, when we added some term on to Dave's contract, Dave and I had this conversation. So for those of you that think this is an assessment or a knee-jerk to what just happened this year, you're wrong. It's not. This was something we discussed and agreed to last year. This was in the org chart last year. And to Dave's credit, he understood that I felt like this team and the magnitude of the Leafs and Leafs Nation was such that we could use some additional leadership, we could use some additional thinking, we could use some additional experience. In particular, he knows that I wanted to find somebody that became the culture, the heart and soul, and the character of this organization. I'm not a hockey guy, and I felt it important that the leader of the Maple Leafs on a day-to-day basis should be a hockey guy. So we knew this is something we wanted to do. The board had full approval and knowledge that this was something we wanted to do. But we all agree we had to find the right person because this is someone that will take us, we hope, for the next 20 years. It was difficult as we went through the timing for Shanny in particular, because once we engaged in that conversation, we understood that we had to make a quick decision and he had to make a quick decision. There was a perceived conflict of interest based on his responsibilities with the NHL, and we wanted to make sure that we got in and out as quickly as possible to make sure that we didn't put anybody in a bad place. I want to in particular thank Gary Bettman. Not good timing, and I'm the first to admit it. Both Larry Tannenbaum and I had conversations with Gary. We didn't mean to interrupt the flow of that division and what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. But he understood this was a moment of time for us that was the end of the year, and it was critical to find the right person to ultimately lead the charge and be involved with Dave on the decisions that need to be made for this team. And again, I apologize to Gary and his team for disrupting the player safety and the hockey operation side. And I compliment Gary on being supportive, but he wanted it swift so that we got out of the middle of a conflict. And we made it quick. Shanny and I started talking about a week ago. We visited in person over that period of time and talked a lot about the opportunity here, the potential here. And he knows as well as I do, as well as Dave does, the potential in Toronto, if we get it right, is unbelievable, but we have a lot of work to do. We spent a lot of time talking about his relationship with Dave, and I'm extremely comfortable. You guys spin it any way you want. Try to create chaos if you want. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we have two gentlemen that have been involved in this sport for a long time. They've known each other for a long time. They will work well together. And if we have disagreements, the disagreements will be resolved very quickly within the organization. This isn't going to tear the organization apart. This is going to make the organization a better place. So why Shanny? I look at his track record. I look at his accountability and his career. To me, the most outstanding statistic, if you look at his career, is not the three Stanley Cup rings, but in 21 years, he made the playoffs 18 times. And the majority of those 18 times, he wore the C or the A on his sweater. He knows about leadership. He came from some of the great culture organizations in the NHL, in particular, learning under Ken and the Detroit Red Wings and under Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils. He was like a sponge, and he took it all in. And then he spent 5 years in the NHL devoting himself to trying to make the game better for the players, for the fans, and for the league as a whole. And I think he did an outstanding job in a thankless position. He knows the GMs. He knows the game. He's probably watched more games than anybody in this room. He is a guy that is not just a student of the game and a fan of the game, but he's an architect of the game, and that's what we needed here. I like his passion. I like his work ethic. I like his analytical skills. I like how he doesn't knee-jerk, and I like in particular that as a young man that grew up in Toronto following the Maple Leafs, cheering for the Maple Leafs, he wants to come home and do something very special for this city. He also doesn't understand the hard work we have before us. We have hard work to do. The fact that we're sitting here one day removed from the season ending is an indication of the hard work we have to do here. Finally, I'm excited about the fact he's made a long-term commitment here. He sees this as an opportunity to build a legacy, to build a tradition here. We're going to give him full authority, everybody on the hockey side and everybody on the business side for the Toronto Maple Leafs reports into Brendan Shanahan. He's the boss. I'll support him 100% and do anything I can. The board will support him 100% and do anything they can to give us the success that we ask for here. And I am absolutely convinced that by adding him to this team and by putting him together with Dave Nonis, we have as good a management team and as good a brain trust as you could have now to get this right, to make sure that we don't have further conversations about culture, accountability, or discipline. So without further ado, please let me welcome the new president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brendan Shanahan.
Well, thanks. Thank you, obviously, to Tim, to the entire Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Board. And also, I'd like to thank Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and Colin Campbell, the three people that most influenced my time while I was at the NHL, taught me a lot. And as Tim said, the timing didn't exactly, it surprised me as well. But I think it was the right thing to do. One of the things that I really prided myself with our department was that we were a team. It was a group. They can certainly do a great job. There's a template in place that when I step aside, I have complete confidence in the direction that they're going, that'll be maintained. And I think Gary Bettman's confidence in the group that's still there is also a big reason why he supported the timing as well. I thought a lot about coming in here today, this specific moment, and you know, I just want to say that I recognize it doesn't really matter to a lot of people where I'm from, how many championships I was able to be a part of as a player, the teams I played for. I'm not here today for big speeches, big words, big proclamations. Today is obviously a day where I get to address you. I just had a chance to address the team. Dave and I have had a chance to have dinner last night, catch up a little bit today. Today is my first day at work, and there's a lot of work to be done. I know a lot of people in the game, a lot of people I respect, a lot of winners, architects of teams, and they're humble guys because they realize how difficult it is to win in the NHL, how everybody is trying to win, how everybody is trying to improve just a little bit. So it's a humbling experience for these guys. It'll be a humbling experience for me as well. But I can tell you how committed I am to it. I think that the opportunity to win is special in any place. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year, it'll be a special occasion. I recognize, and everybody in hockey recognizes, what potentially it could be like in Toronto. I had a great experience at the NHL. Despite what you may think of my old job. But this was an opportunity after speaking with Tim and knowing the support and having a relationship with Larry, knowing somebody like Dave was in place here who I trust and who I've actually watched from afar and admired the job he's done in a very difficult situation. And I was really, really looking forward to coming here. That being said, again, This is the time for me to start learning about the organization from top to bottom. It's a time for me to listen, to learn, and get to work. And that's all that's really worked for me in my career. It's what's worked for me when I was done playing hockey, and that's what I intend to do here. So thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Before we go to questions, one last thing I want to add and then ask Dave to talk about this as well. As I mentioned earlier, this began last June, and Dave and I had a series of conversations about how best to structure this organization to win and what we were trying to accomplish here. And throughout it all, he's been very supportive. I went to him a while back and said, "What do you think of Shanny?" He was very supportive. Not much we could do at the time. We had to wait. He occasionally would come to me and go, how's that going? And, man, you're a little slow. And I told him we'd have to pick and choose our time and be patient and ask for permission from the league to have the conversation. But I want to thank him. It's a bit unusual to be in a position where you have a GM and he's helping me choose the guy he's now going to report into. But he understood that the combination of these two personalities and experience will make this a better organization. So I want to thank Dave. I want to make sure people understand that this is not a judgment on him at all, and this is what we plan to do from day one. He was involved. He was supportive. He was a little impatient, but he understood the timing issue. Mr. Nones?
Thank you. First of all, thanks for coming. The last week has been difficult for a number of reasons. Obviously, the most difficult part has been the play of our team and where we ended up. The second most difficult part was not being able to comment on what was happening and Shanny coming in here today. And it was difficult for the biggest reason it was difficult was that people wanted to make it a negative. They want to spin it as a failure of the organization and a failure of people that are here. And it should be the opposite. Being able to add a person like Brennan with his track record, his knowledge of the game, his desire to be here, I'm not sure how you can put a negative spin on that. I'm sure someone will try, but I'm not sure how you do it. And Tim is right. We started talking about this last summer. It wasn't specific to one person. It wasn't specific to Brennan. A couple weeks ago, Tim did come to me and say, what do you think about this? And again, my reaction then is the same as it is today. How can that be a negative for the Toronto Maple Leafs? I think it's going to be a great situation for everybody here. He's going to add a lot to our organization. For me, it's a person that that obviously you can work with, that's been there, that's had a chance to win championships, that understands the league. Being at the league is, we'll both tell you, is invaluable. And I think we're both looking forward to moving forward with our group. And there is lots of work to do. It's something we've said for the last 2 years, even after we made the playoffs last year. This team's not where it needs to be. There's a lot of things that we have to change and a lot of places that we have to build upon and to go if we're going to have a chance to win. And it's not going to be easy. So it's great to have someone else here with us.
Thanks, Dave. We'll open up to media questions. Please raise your hand. We have microphones on either side of the room. Lance.
Lance Brown, CTV Toronto. First of all, Brendan, welcome to the city of Toronto,
Thank you.
Can say that. What makes you think you can make a difference, given the history of this hockey club?
Well, obviously, I would have taken the job if I didn't think I could have a positive influence. I think that there has been a difficult history. I've experienced some of it myself just watching from afar. And, I've seen what's happened in the past. There's been some good teams here. There's been some difficult years here. I think that there's a unique set of challenges when you're playing in a market that's so passionate about the game. And I think it really goes to speaking about this type of team of management and players that you bring in. I think that it's, as Tim's alluded to, and it's really important to me that we have a strong management group, one that trusts each other. And you have to be aware of the fan base, and you have to be aware of the feelings of your fan base. But I think at the same time, you have to trust the group that you have. If it's a competent group, that you're going to make decisions that sometimes people don't always understand on the first day. But if you think that it's the right decision for the club going forward, for your organization, you do it. This is a place that, obviously the passion is so high here that when things go poorly, it could have a negative effect. But I'd like to think that if things are on the right track, it actually can be a great influence and have a great effect. So I'm confident in that regard that we're going to start building. And again, like I said, there's a lot of work for me to do right now. I can't tell you, I'm not going to get specific about the team or anything like that, but I see unlimited potential. We've got great ownership here. We've got great leadership here that are willing to do anything. And again, getting back to what I said before, nothing we say here today matters. It's about the work we put in. It's about results. I mean, that's really what it speaks about. We need to have results here.
Brendan, You've won championships, so you know how difficult it is. We just left the locker room of a non-playoff team where player after player came out and said, we have a good group here, we have a good team. They don't seem to understand that they don't have a good group and they don't have a good team. How do you make them understand the work that needs to go in to being a champion?
Well, I think you look to make improvements. I do like a lot about this group. They're from an outsider looking in, and there's some really good pieces that a lot of teams would covet. A lot of other people would. There are other situations, certainly, that if Tim had knocked on my door and said, come take this over, I might hesitate. There's some great aspects to this team. I think that, obviously, on any team, whether you didn't succeed or even had a lot of success, there are going to be changes every single year. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year, they will sit around afterwards and sit in the locker room. They'll be a lot happier, but they won't be bringing back the same group. So I think that you start by looking for ways to improve them in small increments. And if you have an opportunity to make improvements, you make them.
Brendan Attapro, Hockey News. Just curious, you came from a couple organizations that have been historically pretty great at developing and drafting players. This organization doesn't have that history, at least in recent memory. How crucial is it going to be for you to really ramp up the production that you get from your scouts?
Well, I don't think I would be unique in saying that scouting is very important. I'd also like to remind people that I was around, you know, when I first arrived in Detroit, they were not referred to and talked about the way that they are now. They were the team that disappointed. They questioned the team's leadership, whether or not they could win the big one. So I'm just saying, sometimes success is around the corner. You know, you make some tweaks, you make some changes, you develop, you build. But you have to earn that as a player. And I think as a team and as a player, what you want to be able to do is just put yourself in a position where you're one of the teams year after year that has the potential to win. You need all the other things that go in place, breaks and luck and health and things like that. But what you have to do is you have to build an organization and a team that at least is in a position where they're one of the teams contending.
Pierre?
Pierre LeBrun, ESPN, TSN. My question's for Tim Leiweke. You said yourself, you know, you don't see yourself as a hockey guy per se. Which people did you lean on in making this decision and identifying Brendan as the candidate? And also, even though you thought about this job last summer, did the onus of going after Brendan take on more urgency with the late season collapse, or would that have been the plan either way?
I always tend to rely on the same people in my experience in hockey. I have a lot of respect for guys like Lou Lamoriello. I may or may not have talked to Lou about Shanny. Luke Robitaille is still somebody that I consider a friend and go to for advice, and there were others. I think having Larry on our board and his experience helped. He knew what was going on, and so we talked a lot about the different options. So we had a lot of good people that we reached out to. Ironically, once we made the announcement on Friday, I called both Ken and Lou, and I was happy to hear both of them talk about the kind of human being and the kind of character we just brought in, and how both of them think he's going to knock it out of the box and how great he's going to be at his job. So I respect those two, and I really like hearing what I heard on Friday. That was even more important to me. As to the timing and trying to pull this off, it didn't have anything to do. I'm not happy about the way we ended the year. I don't think any of us are. Again, we talked to the team today. I'm not sure I gave them a let's win one for the Gipper speech today. And so they understand we're better than where we find ourselves today. They're better. And I expect these guys now to begin to work hard at trying to do what we had to do to make sure this doesn't happen again. But it wasn't that drove us towards adding this piece. We knew we were going to do this a year ago. We had to wait for the right person. And the uniqueness and the timing here had a lot more to do with if we didn't get it done now, we were going to have to wait until after the Stanley Cup playoffs. And for Dave, I think that was not fair. I want the two of them to work now towards the tough decisions that had had to be made that are critical to this organization going forward. And it was important. And again, Dave agreed. Getting Brendan involved now on a review of the team, a review of the management, a review of the coaches, a review of players and who we keep and who we don't keep, and where we go from here, who we recruit, who they go after as free agents. I kind of like our odds with these two guys now. And so, selfishly, we wanted to make the move more because of his timing than our results.
Questions for Tim? Greg Brady from Sportsnet 590. 11 months ago, with deference to Dave's hockey acumen, Brandon's hockey acumen, 11 months ago, you made Brian Colangelo the president of the Raptors. He brought in Masai Ujiri very successfully as general manager. That lasted 5 weeks. This is a real softball for you. Why will this be different than Brian's relationship with Masai?
Last time I checked, I didn't have to fire Brendan. So I think that's that situation. We were trying to pay respect for Brian and find a role for him in the organization. It didn't work out. And I think that was in his best interest and ours. And I thank him to this day for the core he gave us. But it was Masai's team. It was absolutely his direction. It was his culture. This is Brendan's team. It's his culture. And at the end of the day, he makes all the decisions. And we're going to support that 100%. I'd go back and say, I think the more relevant comparison there is he's Masai. And like we've done with the Raptors, and I believe the success that we've had because of that cultural change and bringing in new fresh eyes and new fresh management, I think we're going to have a lot of that with Brendan looking at things differently from the outside and trying to help Dave as to where we go. The only thing I find comparable there is the fact that like Masai has done with a cultural change with the Raptors, we now try to do the same with the Leafs, and we need it.
Dana McKeel from Rogers. Question to Dave. What's your assessment of the coaching staff and the players at this time?
You know what? Brendan and I both have talked about this over the last 24 hours. I don't think it's the appropriate time to give an assessment of players or coaches. I think it's important now we step back and have a thorough review of the entire organization, coaches included. And, you know, we'll do that over the next couple of weeks. I think Randy Carlyle is a good coach. That's as far as I'll go. And I think that we have, as Brendan said, we have some quality players. It's hard not to, and we should look at this as failure, as a negative day, the way this season ended. And it's very easy to stop there because we all feel that negativity. I also believe when you look back, if we take the appropriate time, we're going to see some things that we're happy with in this group too, and you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's some quality people and quality players here, and if we want to get better, we're going to do a good job of assessing those pieces and keeping the ones that we think can help us long term.
Mike.
Brendan, Mike Zeisberger, Toronto Sun. Not so much from the business side, but for the kid growing up in Etobicoke, you're sitting in a room, you watch the Leafs play when you were growing up. You got Wendell Clark here, you got Daryl Sittler here. What does it say to you, the optics in the past 2 weeks, that the fans here were so disgruntled in the final game they actually booed when it was announced the Leafs were taking a timeout, and in Ottawa on Saturday somebody threw a Leaf jersey on the ice?
Well, I talked a little bit about the passion, and obviously, you know, I've had an opportunity to play in passionate markets and play on Team Canada. I know that what that passion can do. Like I said, I'm looking forward on this. There's no doubt in my mind what our fans want. And certainly when they express their frustration, that's something as a professional athlete or as an executive of a sports team that you have to understand. But again, our focus is not on things like that or isolated incidents. It's on improving the team and making improvements.
Chris?
Question for Dave. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet. Do you see any comparables or common themes between the three collapses and the three rough finishes the last 3 years? Do you think there's something about the culture here that's caused that?
Well, I wouldn't include last year as a collapse. Most people thought we were going to go four and out. So I think last year we took a couple of big steps forward, and unfortunately I don't think we built upon that. And that's the one negative I look at this year, and that's one of the things that we passed on to the players. That a lot of the good that we did last year in terms of how we played and how committed we were seemed to disappear at times this year. I think there are differences in both of them, but they both make you feel the same. You know, when I go back 2 years, and not last year and then this year, both of those situations, I think there are differences, but the result and the feeling is the same, that we need to do more to improve the will of the group. If we look back, and we've been working with all of you up through the course of the year, and if you all review your notes and our interviews, I think you'll see a common theme. When we were up 10, and I think we were 10 and 4 at one point, we were saying we're not playing very well. We're not playing the way we need to play. We're not playing the right way. We're not as committed as we need to be, despite the fact that we had a winning record. And over the course of a season, that is going to catch up to you at some point. With us, are there reasons for our spin at the end? I think there's a number of valid reasons. Those are the same reasons that every other team in the league had that managed to win. So I think that using them is an excuse. Schedule was an issue. Injuries were an issue. You know, there are times where bounces, officiating, whatever you want to use, those were all issues. And I can tell you that those cost us games. Every other team in the league faced the same issues we had. So to use those as an excuse, it's not something that we should do or ever will do. We still have to do what we said at the start of last year. We have to get better. When we were winning hockey games, we said we have to get better. We're not deep enough. Our reserve list has to get stronger. We have to draft better. We have to develop better. All the things we said last year when we were winning, we need to say today. So it's not like this is revisionist history. If we all go back and review everything we've talked about, this is where we're at. And I think that having Brendan on board is going to help us tremendously in all those areas.
Hi, Natalie Kalata from CBC News. Question here. Everyone has been talking today about the potential here for, you know, huge results, that we have to work hard, that things need to change. What do you say to those cynical fans who look and say, look, it's been almost half a century since this team has won a Stanley Cup? What realistically, if anything, can be done to reassure those fans? What do you guys say to that?
Well, winning is a... The more I hear and the more I listen to today, quite honestly, winning is just a very simple solution. So we're not going to win a game sitting up here today. You know, we have to get results. And you can talk... When you don't win, you have to answer a lot of questions about a lot of things that are distractions, a lot of side issues. I mean, in my life and in my career, I think that I've prided myself on having very good focus. And so, again, you set yourself up in a situation like this. Obviously, I wasn't here this year, so I don't want to speak about this season. I haven't earned that right. But I can say going forward that when you are in a situation like this, that's when you start talking about a lot of other things. Winning is, and it's something that players say, winning is a very simple solution for so many different problems.
Kevin McGran, the Toronto Star. Just for clarity's sake, when it comes to hiring or firing a coach or signing a free agent or trading a player or drafting, who has the final choice? Who's got the final say and why?
I'm gonna let you guys.
I told you that was coming.
It took a little bit longer than we thought.
Listen, I have a boss. It's Brendan. At the end of the day, the boss always has the final say in anything. Any organization that I've been a part of that has had any success, you've had consensus, you've worked together, and you find a way to answer any questions or concerns that one side or the other might have. So, you know, again, the boss, you know, it's your employer, your boss has the final say. That's just common sense, and it's the way things work. This isn't a relationship that's going to work that way. This is going to work the way it should work, which is we're going to work together to try to find the right answers together. And if we have questions or concerns, we're going to work them out. But at the end of the day, Brennan's the boss. He runs his team.
And I'd like to add that I have a lot of confidence in Dave, and that this situation is really not a unique one in the sports world, not even in the hockey world. I like for people to be able to do their jobs. I'm not a micromanager, but I'm certainly, as it's been stated earlier, I see myself, you know, as an addition to this team and an important voice with this team. And that includes the entire management team.
Michael Grange from Sportsnet. Brendan, this team hasn't made the playoffs in an 82-game season since the lockout, the first lockout. Are you prepared to take a step backwards to go forwards philosophically if that's what's needed?
Well, I think that speaks to something like Dave and I have already talked about, which is, you know, the step backwards we're going to take is the step back right now and assess the entire organization. And it's not a tremendously exciting answer for you, but it's the truth. We're going to step back and we're going to view this team, and it would be disingenuous right now for me to give you an answer.
Bruce Arthur from the National Post. Question for Brendan. You were involved in reimagining the way hockey was played after that lockout. There are a lot of different ways to look at how you build a winning hockey team. What's your vision of how a team should play in the NHL as it moves forward? And what's your view on the different ways to evaluate in terms of analytics, in terms of that aspect of hockey? Have you looked at that? Have you had any big thoughts on that?
Well, generally speaking, I think that if there is information out there for you and you choose to ignore it, then that's a mistake by you. So I think that certainly anytime there's an opportunity to get more information, decide what's good about it, how you can gain something from it, I'm all for that. I'm open to all of those things. So again, it steps back to you know, Dave and I are going to talk about this thing, or we're going to talk about our team. We're going to talk about how we see the best way to play for our team going forward. And as far as information, you know, I am not the type of person that is, I have a sense of tradition and history about me, but I'm also, I think for those of you who know me, I'm open to new ideas, new ways to look at things, and always open for anything that might improve our chances of winning.
Your vision for how hockey should be played to win in the league right now, do you have a team in mind, a model in mind?
The only team I have in mind are the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm not going to talk about other teams right now. I think that it's important for us to assess what we have here, what we have coming up. And I think that's an organizational thing. It would be presumptuous, it would be premature for me to tell you right now where we're going to go. We have to talk about this as a team with Dave and the guys that work with Dave.
We're just going to take three or four more before we do a photo op. All of the participants will be available for scrums immediately after we do a couple of live hits here. Rob?
Brendan, Rob Longley from the Toronto Sun. As a player, you were able to exert your leadership in the dressing room by being a hockey leader. How will you be able to do that from the boardroom as a general manager? How will that leadership translate to the players of today?
Well, you know, hockey players are astute at watching the people around them. And all the things that you ask a hockey player to do, if you're not doing them yourself, committed, dedicated, hardworking, focused, disciplined, if you're not doing it yourself, it's very difficult to ask them to do it as well. So it's about performance. I'm going to expect our players to perform. I'm going to expect our management to perform. And like a player that isn't playing well and has a tough time feeling like he's a leader because he's not doing his job, it's the same for everyone in the organization. If you want to be a leader, you have to do your job well.
Back to the room here on the right.
Carrie Marsden with Global Television and Leafs fan since birth. I'd like to know, we've certainly heard from the fans about what the team is lacking. What do you think our team is missing or lacking?
Well, I think, again, sorry to give you the same answer twice, but Dave and I will talk about that. We'll talk about it, our entire management staff. We'll take a step back, and we'll talk about where we're going in the future.
Just take two more, one here and then Cajal.
Brendan, Mike Ross from SiriusXM's and NHL Network Radio. I'm just wondering how your emotions
compared today.
Sorry.
As opposed to when you took the role as face and voice of discipline in the NHL, your mood, your emotions, whether it be your nerves, your confidence, how do these two compare?
Well, at least here there's an opportunity to like win a game. You know, that was the one thing that we said our greatest compliment in working in player safety was silence. You know, it's a little bit like being a referee. When they forget that you're there, you know that you just refereed a very good game. You know, I was excited about that job. You know, I was nervous about that job. I'm not afraid of being nervous. I'm not afraid of feeling those jitters. I know that that's something that you need in order to do something well. It makes you more alert. And, you know, so that's how I felt when I was offered to take over for Colin Campbell for supplemental discipline. When Tim approached me on this, you know, I had the same feelings in my stomach, that sort of those excited nerves of anticipation. So I'm excited about this opportunity. But at the same time, I understand the difficulty in it. And I mentioned it earlier, and I'll mention it again. There are a lot of really astute hockey people that I have a lot of respect for in the hockey world that have called me to offer me some advice. And, you know, what they say is it's a humbling job, and it's a very difficult job to improve your team in small increments. And every once in a while, someone will hit a home run, but I think that their advice to me was to just continue to look for ways to improve.
Brendan, Carl Kelly from the Globe and Mail. I'm sure during the course of your discussions with Tim Leiweke, you talked a lot about culture. What's your initial assessment of what is wrong with this one, and how can you change it in the short term?
I haven't been around long enough to really speak specifically about that, and that's where I'm going to rely on Dave and the team for the next little while. It's the same answer, but it's truthful. I have to learn a lot. From the outside looking in, everybody can have sort of an idea or an impression, but I have the opportunity not to be on the outside looking in. I have an opportunity to get on the inside and look deeper. So. We'll make those assessments once I'm on the inside and once I'm getting more of that information.
Thank you, everyone. We're just going to do a brief photo op here, and then we'll do scrums behind the table while we do a couple of live hits.
Sure, we can do that.
And those live hits will take place with conversation with Brendan Shanahan and Tim Leiweke and Hockey Central in just a moment. Back here with Scott Morrison, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean, Darren Millard. That was much different, the attitude, the vibe, than the one we experienced last week in the presentation of Trevor Linden as president of hockey operations.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, I think Brendan probably was expecting a lot of excitement about his arrival in Toronto, and yet there was a lot of questions about what is he going to do. There was a lot of questions about culture and leadership. I felt for Dave Nona sitting there listening to a lot of the commentary, because a lot of it, in my opinion, was direct shots at the current general manager. I get that, and it happens, and I understand it, but I felt a little bit for Dave Nonis sitting there.
And that's what made it much more awkward today, uncomfortable than the one, obviously, in Vancouver with Trevor Linden. Trevor Linden made it abundantly clear, I'm not going into this circus act unless some things have been settled between Gillis and Tortorella. Yet Brendan Shanahan comes in and now, obviously, as Mac alluded to, has put Dave Nonis in a really tough predicament here. And, you know, it's one thing for Brendan Shanahan to sit there and dodge the question of culture and then have him say, well, I'm going to lean on Nonis to understand the culture. Well, let's be honest here. The more honest he is about the culture, the more he puts himself in a position to kind of make himself look bad. So that's one of the awkward situations here, is when you inherit already a general manager and you are above him. How can Dave Nonis really come clean on everything without making himself look bad? Yeah.
Well, and I think the difference, too, when you look at that Vancouver situation, is obviously Linden has a history with the organization, a rich history, and he's the chosen son coming back to lead them down the next path and the next chapter in their history. And I think it's also, there was a human sacrifice. There was the general manager offered up, and now a fresh start, whereas here it's adding another layer It's an unproven layer, and I think the cynicism in this market is such that it's show me what you can do. I don't want to hear about it today. Show me what you can do.
They tried to say all the right things, and for the most part, yeah, they were pretty smooth up there.
Yeah.
But does the combination of Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nonis work long term?
Well, I don't know if it's going to work long term, but knowing the type of guy Dave Nonis is, he's been in this role for a lot of his career. Let's not forget, he was with Brian Burke at the league office. He was with Brian Burke in Vancouver. He's with Brian Burke in Toronto. He's been a support guy a large part of his career. He's had a history of a guy that can work with people. If there's anybody that can handle it and handle the adversity of essentially being, you know, somebody coming in to top you off, it's Dave Nonis. The one thing that jumped out today with Brendan that I think he's got a reasonable grip on is, starting today with Brendan Shanahan, nobody really cares about what he's done as a player. It's about results starting today.
Well,
what are the wins going to look like? That's what it's all about. And I thought Brendan touched on that and very basically said that's what it's all about, results.
And we heard that Lewicki addressed the players and Shanahan addressed the players. And for sure, the accountability has to be with the players on the ice. And some of them may have cost them their jobs. We get all that. But as a player, one of the things that we don't necessarily like is a ton of too much data, too much information, too many people telling us things. So now that you've added Shanahan, you've got basically from the top to the bottom, Lewicki, Shanahan, Nonis, Poulin, Claude Loisel, Senior Advisor Cliff Fletcher, Director of Player Personnel Jim Hughes, Reed Mitchell, Carlisle, Farish, Gordon, Cronin, Chris Dennis, Steve Spott in the minors who... again, has to address the players after they've left them. There's too many chefs in the kitchen here. So Brendan Shanahan...
it's a heck of a meal, though.
Brendan Shanahan's going to have to sit there and he's going to say, yes, no, you can stay. No, you can't stay. There's too many. There's too many of them. And that's a big issue in itself.
Here is the president and CEO of MLSE, Tim Lewicki. You just heard Nick Kyprios in his commentary. You add another executive to an organization that's already top-heavy. Tell me why.
Well, at the end of the day, Nick has the right to his opinion, and we'll see who's right. I respect opinions from people as to whether or not this was the right move, whether or not we have too many decision makers. But I've been a part of organizations that had these kinds of structures, and we did quite well. The Lakers won a few championships, and that was Dr. Buss and Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak. And so I think we understand the work that needs to be done. We understand everybody's role. I think Shanny's going to take a more aggressive role. I'm going to be able to be a little bit more focused on the business side. And I don't think what we're doing here is adding another layer. I in fact, think it's exactly the opposite. If we could get Brendan to be the guy that ultimately creates the character here and the heart and soul of this organization, we'll be better for the addition. And we're ultimately going to show it on the ice. There will be results directly attributable to that cultural change on the ice next year.
Culture was a big hot-button word during the course of the press conference. You don't like it with the Toronto Maple Leafs team in the locker room right now. Take me deeper into that evaluation.
I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to leave that to Dave and Brendan. I think at the end of the day, everyone understands because I talk a lot about culture. But clearly, one of the things we wanted to do when we began to think through this is find the right kind of personality and the right kind of culture to build around. I definitely think we got the number one guy to do that in Brendan. As to the results and the impact on the team, I'll let him and Dave now take it from there and make an assessment of what went right and what went wrong with this team.
Okay, when did you start to question the culture?
Well, I questioned all of the cultures the day I started here. That's why they brought me in, is to try to make it better, to try to get us to a point where all of the teams win. So we were a little bit more focused on the basketball side because we had to, and then we got focused on the soccer side because we had to. It's the Leafs' turn. From a timing standpoint, it's important we now focus our time and energy on fixing this and getting it to the right place. I think Brendan hit it right. We got a lot of hard work to do. This isn't a press conference solves nothing. We have to go work on this on a day-to-day basis by trying to outwork everyone, trying to ultimately use the experience and the knowledge of all of these guys and do the heavy lifting that's going to have to take place here in order to turn this around and get to a point where the Leafs are in the playoffs
playoffs each and every year for long stretches at a time.
Tim, you mentioned that this job was on the org chart a year ago. Why did it take so long?
I wanted to find the right person, and in the case of Brendan, there was no way we were going to be able to do this midstream. And the minute I approached him on it, the minute we offered it to him, we had an inherent conflict of interest that we were going to have to deal with. So we knew we were going to have to be patient. We knew we were going to have to wait till the end of our season. We knew it was going to have to be a conversation that was done very quickly. And it was a little tricky as to the timing, but it all worked out in the end.
So do you think if Brendan Shanahan would have been hired last fall, this collapse would have been avoided?
I don't know. It's a good question. Look, I wasn't prepared to do it last fall because it was my first year and I had to go through the pain. I had to learn. I had to understand what was right and what was wrong in the locker room with the organization, where we were good and strong in management, where we required some additional help in management. So part of this was a learning process, and part of this required me to get my arms around what I inherited and try to begin to define what I could do to make it better.
In time, when did you first approach Brendan Shanahan? 3 weeks ago? A month ago?
No, actually, we had to do it quick. So I talked to the commissioner within the last roughly 7 days. Shani and I had a lot of different conversations. I flew into New York and spent an evening with him. And then we followed through on the phone afterwards. So it was because of the nature of what he does for the league, it was critical that we make it a very quick conversation. And it was not one where we could approach him 6 months ago and have an ongoing conversation. That would have been probably not fair to the league and not fair to the other teams.
What makes you confident that somebody without any experience can step in and turn this organization around?
Go spend a day with Brendan.
That simple?
You guys know him. You look at his resume, you look at his character, you look at the way he goes about every task he's ever had in life, whether it be a player, whether it be the job he's done for this league in the front office, whether it be his involvement in the various improvements to the game, lockouts. The one thing I heard from everybody before the decision and after the decision is you're not going to find a guy with more integrity and a guy with more work ethic than we have in this guy. There's not one doubt in my mind about the improvement we made today, how this organization is going to get better. As I said, we got a lot of hard work, and we haven't done anything as of today except a press conference. We've announced where we're going. We've announced how we're going to get there. But now the heavy lifting starts. What I know about him is he's prepared for the heavy lifting. He'll be more aggressive and work harder at it than anybody in our organization. And as I said during the press conference, 18 playoff appearances in 21 years. That's a pretty good track record.
So your team's in the playoffs next year?
I'll let that... You should ask the president that.
We finally got that earpiece to stay in there. Now I have to say goodbye. Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys. Thanks. Cheers.
There's president and CEO of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Corporation, Darren Millar, back with Scott Morrison, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. He played off your comments.
Yeah, listen, I mean, he's the guy, right? He makes all the decisions. If he's okay with having that many people in there, then good on him. I'm only speaking from a player in the past experience when you know that you've got a lot of people to answer to, and when you continue to hear them from different voices on a constant basis, it tends to play with you a little bit in a negative way.
Do you tune some people out?
How can you? Everybody's above you. Everybody in some way might have a chance to influence where you are as a player or where you're going. I mean, you've got to answer to everybody. But the question is, are they all on the same page? The guys that I've mentioned off of either the management staff or the coaching staff, they're strong, opinionated people who are paying, who are being paid handsomely. And they feel like they've got to do and say what they need to justify their positions. And that, at times, can be confusing for players. And I know, just speaking to a few guys in the past, they do answer to a lot of people, and at times it wears on them. And I'm not taking them off the hook. They're the ones on the ice. They're the ones that blew the playoff spot. They're the ones ultimately responsible here. I'm just saying, sometimes too much isn't a good thing.
The bottom line, it should be Shanahan, Nonis,
and the head coach, if it's Carlisle. That's who you should hear from. Those should be the centerpieces. And the rest of the people are essentially the worker bees. They're the guys that do the grunt work and do the groundwork and do all the other things. But from a player perspective, it's got to be those three voices and those three voices only, and mainly the coach's voice.
Yeah, he has to manage the message, and it's great to have a strong support team that can contribute behind the scenes and offer up information, and there's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, and Dave Nonis was emphatic that Brendan is the boss. He's the one that has to arrive at the consensus and deliver a unified message to whether it's the players or his management team.
I like the fact that Tim Leiwicki said that he is turning it over to Brendan. I've been around Tim Leiwicki quite a few years in Board of Governors meetings, and I find it hard to believe that he is turning this over. He came in here to fix the Leafs, essentially, and the Raptors, and I get he's got responsibilities for all. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, what they are as far as MLSE goes, come on, they are the golden goose. They are the group that leads in every aspect of this organization financially. I don't believe for a minute he's turning it over to Brendan Shanahan. So now you've got Leiwicki, Shanahan, Nonis, Carlisle. I'm not buying it. Sorry, Tim, and I respect Tim, and I've worked around him a few years. He's not turning it over.
Brendan Shanahan is the new president of the Toronto Maple Leafs and joins us now. Mac doesn't think that you've got complete autonomy. What's your take on that?
That's fine. Everybody can have their opinions.
You said you're not here for big speeches, big words, big proclamations. Today's your first day of work, and there's a lot of work to be done. What's your biggest concern with your roster?
Well, again, not to get specific, I think that I have to get more information. I've had an outsider's look at this team, but I want to get an inside look. I just want to look for ways in which, you know, going forward, we can, you know, enhance the players that we do have, get more out of the players that we do have, but also make some improvements to the group.
But you told your players that changes would be made this summer when you addressed them this morning?
Well, I think changes are made to every team, regardless of where they end up. I think, there'll be a team that'll win the Stanley Cup this year, and a general manager, a team president, will have to look at them in the eyes and say there'll be changes to this team next year as well.
Does that evaluation include your general manager?
Can you repeat that?
Does that evaluation include evaluating your general manager?
Well, I think that I'll have a better idea of where I see this organization going the longer that I'm here. I can say this right now about Dave. I've always had a lot of respect for him. I think that he's done a great job here. I think that he's somebody that I'm going to really lean on here, and we're going to look to build this thing and improve it.
A lot of talk about culture. As the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, how do you change what's happened?
Well, you know, I think that I'm in a position now with our entire management group to bring in players that have a winning culture that, you know, that can, again, not only perform well themselves, but get more out of the other players that are here, give them more support. I think that players are an astute group of individuals. I think that they recognize and see when people around them are working hard, and those expectations are asked of them. I think that you have to work hard in management as well.
How do you summarize what happened in the last 15 games? Was it a character flaw or was it a skill set shortcoming?
Well, you know, I wasn't working for this team the last 15 games, so it would be unfair for me to really make an assessment.
But you were watching.
About them. I was watching 30 teams.
So you don't have any opinion on what happened in those last 15 games?
Well, like I said, I have certain thoughts and feelings, but they are from an outsider's perspective. I think that there's more information I want to get, and I'm not going to stand here today and start, you know, wagging my finger and telling people what I'm going to do and who's here to stay and who's going to go. There's more information for me to get.
So many people want to target leadership, though, with the three consecutive collapses.
Well, look, we're going to look at everything. We're going to look at everything, and we're going to talk to all the players. And again, I've been on too many championship teams where the leadership was questioned right up until the leader hoisted the Stanley Cup over his head. So I've seen that before too.
Brendan Shanahan,
suddenly he was a great leader.
The new president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. When you look at your organization, what do you like the most, Ben?
What I like the most about is the passion, really. I mean, I know that can be a double-edged sword, but I think that for me, I've always enjoyed playing in passionate markets. I've enjoyed working in high-pressure jobs. I know that, again, there are certain individuals that can seem to perform well under the glare and spotlight and pressure of a place like Toronto, and others that don't respond to it. And I think that actually, the fans, the fan base, the passion here, that can be a huge asset. But you have to get results. And people don't want speeches, they just want results.
What's your opinion on your head coach and the status of that evaluation?
That evaluation hasn't begun yet. I think that Dave and I had to get through today. We've talked a little bit. We're going to talk a lot more. I can say that, I think Randy's a good coach. But as far as, like, evaluating him and the staff, I have some questions, and we're going to start doing that today, and we'll do that over the next couple of weeks.
Brendan, you and I had a conversation at the Board of Governor meetings at Pebble Beach after you suspended Dion Phaneuf, and you just wanted to make the point that you didn't think he was a dirty player. He was just caught in a bad situation. What is your opinion about your captain and obviously the long-term contract that he just recently signed?
It's premature for me to speak about any individuals, and I certainly have thoughts, but I don't necessarily think I'm in the best position to share them today.
Thanks, Brendan, and congratulations on the job.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Brendan Shanahan, president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is different than the Trevor Linden appointment, president of hockey operations. What's the difference there, Mac? You've held both jobs.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference, be quite honest. Like, Brendan Shanahan doesn't have a history in marketing, sales, corporate sales. Sure, he'll be involved on the business side as a figurehead, as a guy that can shake hands and kiss babies. But the bulk of his work is going to be in hockey ops. So they could have named him president of the Toronto Maple Leafs like they did, or they could have made him president of hockey ops. To me, the job is 90%. The Toronto Maple Leafs are run by MLSE. They're not a sole entity as a business entity. So for them to say he's in charge of both business and hockey, to me, it's not accurate.
No.
Like, Wicky's in charge of the business side.
Forget titles. Forget what's on a business
it's
party.
Hockey.
All you need to know is who answers to who. And obviously, everybody answers to Brendan Shanahan, and Brendan Shanahan only has Lewicki and the board. That's all you need to know about who's in control. Everything else, throw it aside.
If we recall when Brian Burke was hired, the positive thing about it was essentially going to be Brian who was going to cut through all the red tape, and Brian would report directly to the board. And that was deemed a very positive thing. That which plagued the Leafs for a long, long time in their history was the steps. We've gone back a little bit today to the steps. And it's not just Brian Burke reporting to the board. It's not essentially Brendan reporting to the board. It's Brendan reporting to Lewicki. And is that going to be a positive? Well, let's hope it is.
Well, you could argue that it is a positive change and that he doesn't have to worry about dealing with the board. He's got one guy to answer to, and he can focus on his job,
yep.
Which is, to your point, Nick, running that hockey team and not worrying about the business side predominantly.
For me, the question isn't above Shanahan. It's everything below. And like I mentioned, you got a lot of chefs in the kitchen here who may want answers themselves. The question is, how many steps on the ladder do you have to go before you get those answers?
And I think, they're going to have discussions about the head coach, and that's essentially all they should have a discussion about, because once you decide on the head coach, the assistants are looked after for all intents and purposes. The bigger discussion is going to be when they start saying, okay, we continue to talk culture, leadership, identity. What's the identity of our core group of players here? Where do we fit from a leadership perspective on this hockey team? It's easy to fire the head coach. Easy to fire the head coach. We see it every year.
It's much more challenging to change your core group of players. They've established a core group here. Is this core group good enough to lead this team deep into the playoffs? That is going to be the billion-dollar question.
He inherits Phaneuf and his $50 million contract. He inherits Kessel and his $64 million contract. And you can talk about all you want about culture, but can he turn these guys into winners? Can he have the influence to help them lead? Clearly something that both of them have been lacking.
It was interesting, the tenor of the conversation from the three guys at that head table. Tim Leiwicki was cutting. He was right in there saying they lacked identity.
Right.
They lacked leadership. Basically said this was not a well-run operation in so many words, where Shanahan and Nonis talked about this is building on a foundation that's already there. There seemed to be a bit of a divide in terms of what that message was.
Just hold that thought, Doug McLean. It's Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Scott Morrison here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Now turning it over to Dave Nonis, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. What Scott was just referring to, was that difficult to listen to at times today during that press conference, Dave?
No, I mean, first of all, I know Tim, so I know the approach and how passionate he is about trying to put together a winning organization, a winning team. I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but there's some issues that we need to address as a group, and we're going to spend some time evaluating everybody, and we'll start working towards addressing them.
I'll ask you the same question I threw at Brendan Shanahan. The last 15 games, you watched it, you were closer to it than he was. Was that a character flaw or a lack of skill or strategy?
I think there's a combination there. I don't think it was a lack of skill or strategy. You know, I think obviously we were down in terms of injuries, our starting goaltenders, a number of reasons for it. I think those, at the end of the day, we can look at as reasons, but I think to say, use them as excuses is unfair. Other teams went through similar situations and found a way to scratch out the points they needed to get in. We weren't able to do that.
Do you think there's
I think it also...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Do you think there's a connection between culture and character? Do you think those two are connected?
Sure.
So
yeah, no question.
That seems to point the finger at your captain, Dion Phaneuf.
I think that no one wanted to win as much as Dion. I'm not saying that Dion had a tremendous stretch run. I think everyone would admit that, and Dion included, that those weren't his finest games. But it wasn't for a lack of effort or trying to bring the team together. I think if you look at his play, particularly before the trade deadline, there was, Brendan and I talked about this yesterday, it was very few defensemen that maybe had as big of an impact on the group as Dion did. Did he play as well as we need him to down the stretch? No, he didn't.
Is he back as your captain next year?
You know, again, we're going to go back over all those issues, and we'll spend some time talking about them. So any player movement or player issues, coaching issues in terms of changes will be left for another day.
I'm not naive enough to think that you're going to tell me your decision on whether or not Randy Carlyle is back, but inside, have you made that decision internally?
No.
You yourself? Do you have an opinion?
I have an opinion, but again, those opinions are often, I think, changed over a little bit of time. It's easy to have a feeling 24 hours or 48 hours after you've completed your season. There's a lot of negative feelings, I think, that goes through my mind, the coach's mind, the players' minds, and it's much better to step back and wait a period of time and analyze where you're at and what benefits the organization going forward. And that is seldom done the day or two after you're eliminated.
So was this a good day for you? Or does it matter?
Well, it's a bad day in that we're talking about the missing the playoffs. As I said when we were up on the podium, it was a very difficult stretch to sit through, and particularly given, I think, where we ended up last year and the steps we took to improve our organization. So it was difficult to, in terms of the season and having to acknowledge the failures of the group. But in terms of bringing Brendan on, again, I think it's a positive thing. The hardest part of the last couple of days is not been able to answer some of the critics about, you know, why this is a bad thing for me or for the organization. When you bring in someone like Brendan, has got the respect of the league, the knowledge base he has, to add another person to the organization like that, I don't see how that's a negative.
I want to hear from you. How do you think your job changes?
It doesn't. I mean, my job doesn't change it in terms of my day-to-day operations, trying to find ways to make our team better. We've always used people around you in terms of trying to reach a consensus of what you want to do moving forward. Right now, I've got a boss that I can turn to that will have a very strong opinion on that. And again, no knock on Tim, but you know, in terms of hockey decisions or direction, it'd be different going to Tim and saying this is what we want to do, as opposed to going to Brendan. And I think that we're gonna work together to try to determine what's best for this team. And it's not going to be a situation where he's not informed and we don't bring him topics in terms of what we want to do. And this is a person that I expect to be talking to daily.
You can't say both when I ask you this question. What's more important to improve, the skill set of the players on this roster or the culture and the character?
I would say both.
You can.
No, I think, sure I can. But listen, I think you can't win without character. It really doesn't matter how much skill and ability you have. I don't want to completely wash over this group as an uncaring group that it wasn't committed, there's 18 players every night plus your goaltenders that didn't care. That is just not true. And we have some good pieces here that are going to help us long term. It's very important that we identify those pieces and we do what we can to insulate them and to surround them with other people that care as much as they do. But to paint them all as players that didn't care, that didn't put an effort forward, would be patently unfair to the group.
What did you say to the group today?
I will keep that between us, but I think they understand expectations going forward, and I think they understand our feelings on certain parts of this season that we need to address going forward.
If you can get back to answering my emails again?
Yeah, I can. That's right. That really broke my heart that I couldn't for the last week. But
Dave Notice, the general manager, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
General Manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you've heard from the president, CEO of Maple Leaf Sports, the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now the general manager. And everybody is saying the right things, that there's a pecking order, but Dave Nonis has the same job description, the same job role as he went into the weekend.
No different than watching Calgary do this when Brian Burke was appointed in his role as president of hockey
operations. And what did we say?
And Jay Feaster's right there. And this, it was no different feel here. Let's be honest.
I think Jay Feaster and Brian Burke, we said from the outset, that's not going to work.
Well,
and that's not long term.
Well, let me ask us, do we think if this has a chance to work long term?
I asked earlier, but...
Look, I think it has a chance to work, and I'll tell you why. It's a
different
little,
from Calgary?
Yeah, it's different from Calgary in that Brian Burke was a long-established general manager in the league. Brendan Shanahan has got a major learning curve to go through here, and he is going to need a guy like Dave Nonis. How Dave's job changes is that he was answering to Lewicki, who was a non-hockey guy for all intents and purposes. Now he's answering to a former player with no NHL management experience other than the league office. So I think it has a chance to work because Nonis has a history of being able to work with people. What Dave said about having a consensus is totally accurate. He's a consensus guy. He's a guy that asks other people's opinions. If it has any chance of working, I think Nonis and Shanahan has a good chance to work.
Whether you have the experience of Brian Burke or you have zero experience in Brendan Shanahan, I don't think you got to be a brain surgeon to know that you want your own guy. You have your own beliefs, your own philosophy, and it very rarely works
where you inherit a guy and you keep him long term. And that's just the percentages I'm speaking of. I'm not saying it's impossible, and I'm not saying it doesn't stand a chance, Mac.
Except Dave is a little unique as a GM. He doesn't want the limelight per se. He doesn't have to be the out front, I'm Mr. Face of the organization. He's more of a background worker. He's more of a behind the scenes guy. And whether he believes it or not, I'm sorry, his job did change. It has changed dramatically because he is now essentially similar to the old assistant GM in the league.
He's not a politician.
But I think it'll work.
He can't politics his way into buying time.
No, he doesn't want to.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. But then that puts even that puts more stress on the on-ice product. And with all due respect, the lineup wasn't good enough to get into the playoffs, Mac, and that does fall on Nonis.
Let's bring Scott Morrison into this.
Well, hey, I think there's a number of factors that come into this, whether or not it works as a relationship between Shanahan and Nonis. Shanahan hit it on the head during the press conference when he says that he feels they have a strong management group. He feels like he's a good addition to that group, but they have to have the trust of each other. So it's going to be, this works based on how Brendan approaches it. As Doug said, he needs to surround himself with smart people because he does have a steep learning curve, and is he going to come in as a guy with all the answers, or will he listen to his people and form consensus? Then it can work. And the personalities are different than it might be with a Burke type, Feaster type of arrangement.
And you know what? Teams are getting caught up on who's the face of the franchise. And whether you want to believe it or not, when a management guy is the face of your franchise, you're in trouble. What you need is the players to become certain players to become the face of the franchise. Brendan Shanahan as the face of this franchise. Kenny Holland is not the face of the Detroit Red Wings franchise, guys. It's Zetterberg and Datsyuk and Lidstrom and on and on and on. So the quicker Brendan becomes not the face of the franchise and players become the face of the franchise, the Leafs will have success. And right now, today, he's the face of the franchise. And that, to me, is dangerous.
Would you advise him not to have a hot dog named after him at the Air Canada Centre? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Do you think... Well, he's the face of the franchise because he's taken over the franchise. If he's the face of the franchise, to your point, on October 1st when the season starts, then they're going to...
Who was the face of the franchise in Brian Burke's fourth year here?
Brian Burke.
Well, Brian was pretty prominent.
Brian Burke.
On the subject of asking the hypothetical... Do you think Brendan Shanahan would have made a difference this season when they went through or started their slide and then ended up in that 15-game stretch?
I don't know. With such lack of experience over a 12-month period, if that's what you're talking about, I don't see it. I really don't. I believe that in many ways he's handcuffed a little bit here. If people think that there's going to be real results here in the next summer months or 6 months or 12 months, you look at this roster and you look at the UFAs, you look at, again, the long-term commitments to Kessel and Phaneuf, who he's inherited. What real true changes can we see, Mac, in 6 months or 12 months from now? No.
To address this culture and the character?
Yes, but it's going to take baby steps here, Darren. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Tim Leiwicki didn't sound like he was interested in baby steps.
And let's not forget.
You tell me, can it change this quickly with Brendan Shanahan here with zero experience?
No, the culture will change slightly because of the management team, but the culture will really change when it's the culture of the group in the dressing room. Coach, players. That's where your identity comes from. That's where your culture really comes from. That's where you get the feel for leadership. I think
Brendan, does Shanahan give that room and that leadership group some swagger and some confidence?
I think it does. And let's not forget, Tim Leiwicki talked about the Los Angeles Lakers. And yeah, they were an unbelievable team. But they did have Shaq and Kobe there. And they were really the face of that franchise along with the coach. So you know what? It takes time, and it still, for me, I'm telling you, it's still all about the players. Let's never forget that. I don't care how many presidents you hire, it's still about the players.
It could take 6 months before Nonis really has a feel for how it's going to work with Brendan Shanahan and how he's going to report to Brendan. And we've seen it before, Mac, whether it's an ownership or a president. They want to be kept in the loop all the time. What does that mean? Does that mean that Nonis reports to Brendan daily, weekly, monthly? Like,
Is there a cap on emails? Does he get 3 emails during a game, 5 emails after a game? All of this, they've got to work out.
Well, Nona said he expects to talk to him every day.
And the one thing Shanahan
Fine, Scott. That's fine. But that can also really hurt the relationship. It can hurt the progress of the hockey team.
And the perception
it could slow
of the
down.
GM.
It could slow down things. We know with some instances throughout the league, the worst thing for a general manager is having to answer emails 4 or 5 times a day by your president or your somebody on the board.
Or ask if you can do things.
Well, Brendan
said if you can do things.
He's not a micromanager. You can only take him at his word right now and see how it plays itself out. But to Eliwicki's point, it is additional leadership in the organization. It's additional mindset and it's additional experience of a different kind, not necessarily as a manager, but a guy who's been around winning organizations throughout his career.
And you take that as a positive. Yeah. That, to me, is a positive. And let's see how it unfolds.
And that's one of the tenor, again, of that press conference was a lot of people, and even before that press conference, are focusing on how it's not going to work between Shanahan and Nonis and not looking at, well, does this guy bring something to the table that makes them a better organization today?
Darren Millard, Scott Morrison, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean on expanded Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet Television as well as Sportsnet.ca. How important, Doug, do you think was it that Brendan Shanahan got to address the team in that room today?
I think it's important. I think he's going to be the boss, as Dave Nonis and Eliwicki talked about, and I think it's critical that the boss gets to go into that room and give them a feel for what they're going to be looking at moving forward. And I think if he delivered a strong message, which I suspect he did, I think it sets a little bit of a tone that you want strength. You want, when you're a player or you're a coach, you want somebody in the organization to come in and be a powerful, strong advocate. And I think he would have delivered a pretty good message today.
And the thing is, too, is I get the fact that you don't want the inmates to run the asylum, but the players will have a key say in all of this in their exit meetings. They always do. And not to say that certain players are going to be the be-all, end-all when it comes to Randy Carlyle's future, but there was a lost message in the last 3 or 4 weeks between the players. There was a disconnect between the coaching and the players. And now Brendan Shanahan, as he said in the press conference, and I agree with him 100%, he's got to do his due diligence.
He's got to find coaches.
He's got to find out what the heck is going on.
And as I know players, it would have given them a chance to come up with a nickname for Shanny.
Yeah. Two players, by the way, somewhat similar. Old school kind of guys that have a tendency to maybe, you know, push your buttons.
And everybody was waiting for, and it may yet happen and likely will to some degree, waiting for change by subtraction. Is it the coach? Is it the assistant coaches? Are there players that are going to move out? Well, they inflicted some change on the organization today by adding someone who brings some strong qualities.
Responsibility goes to the players. 8 years out of the last 9 outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's go inside that dressing room.
And this is always the time where you're evaluating yourself, self-evaluation and critiquing. But, we just tried to play an 82-game season in 60 games, which is not going to cut it in this league. So I guess we're pretty disappointed. And I'm just kind of want to kickstart next year right now.
I think we're on the right track. We, from my experience being in LA, I got drafted from the day I got drafted to when we won the cup. I think it takes time. I think we're still young. We obviously, I'm sure a lot of people are sick of hearing that we're close to be a great team. But I truly believe that we're not too far off.
Jonathan Bernier and Nazem Kadri. Bernier is going to have sports hernia surgery. No world championships for him. Tyler Bozak is going to go represent Canada. Phil Kessel has opted out for Team USA. Did you hear the right things there, or is that just...
Well, he's a core guy. He's one of the leaders there, so I don't expect
it.
Bernier.
Oh,
okay. I don't expect anything less from him. And for the most part, I think he did everything that was asked of him. For a guy that still, and the question marks were there at the beginning of the year, as you had mentioned, 60 career games coming in of NHL experience to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I thought he handled himself real well. But as a leader,
you can't say anything else but what we just heard from Bernier.
To me, the most positive thing that's happened to the Leafs in the last couple of years has been solidifying the number one goaltending position. And there's no doubt Bernier came in, as you said, with 67 games experience, as a history of being a young backup in the NHL. And to me, it's given the Leafs a position that they can feel comfortable with. They'll have to fill the backup role this summer, which is much easier. But I think that was a great addition by Dave Nonis.
As you look at Jonathan Bernier and James Reimer's numbers on the television side of things, Dave Boland was asked today what his future holds, and he says it's hometown. He'd love to come back. Obviously, there's a negotiation that has to take place, but would you give him another crack, given that he was hurt for much of the season, and when he did play, you never really saw the right Dave Boland?
Well, they're going to have some cap challenges, and it's got to be the right number for them to bring him back. When he played at the start of the season, he was terrific, and you could say that there was a turning point of sorts when he did go down with that injury, the catastrophic injury in Vancouver, that team fell off before they righted themselves a little bit. I think he fits in nice. I think he's going to go to market, and I think it's going to be a number that the Leafs can't match to slot him in where he is on their
and
roster.
And when he was on at the beginning of the season, he was their best leader. In so many ways, but you know, he brought that from Chicago, and that's what they expected, and that's what they got. Here's the issue, guys. He had a major surgery. He had a major injury, and he never really truly recovered in the games that we saw when he came back. Now the question is, and now you're gun shy off of the Clarkson signing at $5 million. Do you want to take another chance now and go five plus for a guy who's coming off major surgery, who isn't a fluid skater to begin with, and now invest possibly $30 or $40 million in a guy that should be still a top role player, not necessarily a star player, but a meat and potatoes type of guy? And we do know that you need these guys to win cups, as Chicago showed us, Mac. Well, but how deep do you go?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how they can't make an unbelievable attempt to get this guy signed. You've got Bozak, who, for all intents and purposes, is a great number two centerman, but he can be a number one here because of JVR and Kessel. But the Kadri questions still continue. Do they want him back? Are they going to try to move him? Or is he going to become that number two centerman that everybody hopes he will? You need Dave Boland. Take a look at the unrestricted free agent market. Take a look at trades and tell me who you can bring in. All they talked about today was culture, leadership.
He's got it all.
I don't know how you don't make an...
And
I agree with you.
Fine.
I agree with you on the challenges
manager
of the term and the money. But you've got to do some way of... Maybe this is going to be Brendan Shanahan's best job he does, is getting this guy to agree to the right deal.
You're the general manager. You tell me the number that's acceptable for Boland and then the one that you have to turn down.
Well, I think it's going to be in the five range. I think there's no way he's going to come in. It's going to be 4 or 5. I think you say to him, here's what Bozak is making. This is what Bozak has done for us.
Yeah.
This is what Kadri's making.
And then tells you this is what Clarkson's making.
And then, well, that's your challenge. And you got to say, I made a mistake with Clarkson.
Well, I think part of this will be determined by Kadri's future as well, whether or not they hitch his wagon to him.
Boland was around this team during the epic collapse.
Well, right? Yes, he was.
But not where it most counts.
Well, I thought culture and character.
No. Culture and character also happened, transfers to the ice.
He didn't get shut down. He was there for the 8-game losing streak.
No, I know, but he wasn't healthy. Yeah. I mean, look, I just think he's an important piece. He's still a young player.
What was he skating on?
He's got a
70%?
Winning pedigree. I don't
but
know
you guys
how
are putting so much into
him.
The character of the guy. Do you necessarily have to be playing a regular shift?
I'm looking at what the other options are if you don't bring him back and you're already weak down the middle as a hockey team. I don't care what anybody tells me. A big part of their defensive problem is weakness down the middle. And they've got to hope that Kadri matures and becomes a real player. And they got to hope that Boland's health comes back, because you're making a valid point on the health.
And it's hard with Boland to maybe establish himself as that leader when he spent such a long time in civvies. You know, guys can't walk in the dressing room in suits and be that kind of leader. You got to be on the ice doing it. And he wasn't the same player when he returned from the injury.
No.
Clarkson was another guy they added to be part of an enhanced leadership group. And obviously, because things went so bad for him, he wasn't a guy that was going to be able to stand up and take charge of that.
Very few could do what you did for the Rangers in that 94 run from your suit.
Glad you noticed.
In your suit.
I'm glad you noticed. I had a rally jacket on.
How would you guys, bad fist bump by the way, how would you guys describe
this
day?
We're on radio, it doesn't matter.
We're on television too. You think the cameras are here just for show?
We were always told radio first. It just happens to be on TV. Now, just ignore the television.
Is this a great day for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Or is this a day that we don't really know what it is for the Toronto Maple Leafs? How would you describe it?
Well, we don't know what it really is because you're not bringing in Scotty Bowman. You're not bringing in Kenny Holland. You're not bringing in a guy that's been a management winner. You're bringing in a guy that you're hoping is going to be that guy. Look, Brendan, to me, is a good choice, and he will determine how this organization moves ahead and how he grows as a leader. Brendan Shanahan is not a management leader yet. Brendan Shanahan, and he said it, he has to grow into this position. He's got a lot to learn.
Not only does he have to grow into it, and listen, we can speak about his credentials as a player all day long and how they're amongst the best in the history of the game. We don't know him in a managerial role. He has to start over again. He's got to earn respect, okay? Because there's a lot of people in the NHL culture here that have put in long years, and it's tough when you watch somebody fast track like this. So there's a lot of people out there against Brendan Shanahan right now, just from the mere optics.
Jealous?
That this guy, jealousy, absolutely, there's all of it. There's all of it. So he's going to have to almost work twice as hard as anyone else to prove himself that, yes, he might have been favored a little bit through the system, but he is now earning his keep. He's going to have to go twice as hard in the work.
Any better win?
I classify it. It's an interesting day, and that there's possibilities. There's possibilities that this enhances a management team and makes it that much better. If he is a fast learner and he works with the people that are there for him, and not coming in with all the answers.
Right and away. He's as good a hockey man as he was a hockey player. Then that would be a real positive day. So, yeah,
like
hopefully
you.
It works. Hey, let's hope it works. I hope it's a positive.
They've added a good hockey person to the organization.
Totally.
Now it's how he acts as that president.
Yeah.
No internship. Start of the president. That's a pretty good first day on the job for Brendan Shanahan. There's been a major decision for a non-playoff team. We'll bring you that on this expanded edition of Hockey Central.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Back here at Hockey Central, the expanded edition on the heels of the naming of Brendan Shanahan as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Darren Millard with Scott Morrison, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. It was a defensive news conference today, I thought, at times. The Toronto Maple Leafs, Tim Leiweke especially, going out there and saying, we know that you guys can spin this, we know that you guys can make a mess of this.
And then
they tried to get in front of this a little
bit. Then he listens to your line of questions, and he would say, yes, it definitely was a defensive press conference. Because I thought you were a little tough on them, to be quite honest. It was a very CNN-ish type of questioning thing.
Shanahan and Nonis tried to focus on how they can make this thing work. But I think Leiweke kind of set the tone when he came out with the criticisms of not having a strong culture, leadership, or an identity.
Lack of direction was probably one of the first things that came out of Tim Leiweke early in that press conference.
The Nashville Predators are going to go in a new direction with Barry Trotz's contract not being renewed. The only coach in the 16-year tenure of that franchise, and he and David Poile part ways. They missed the playoffs by 3 points, and they only had the number one goaltender, Pekka Rinne, for 24 games this year. So is this fair, Doug?
Well, David and Trotsky go back a long time, to the Washington Capitals days, and when he came on board there in the late 90s, and late 80s, I should say. And they've had a long history. A little surprising that his contract is allowed to expire. How do you have a guy that's there 16 years and his contract is allowed to expire? Whether you're going to fire him or not, at least the guy should have time to search.
I'm not okay with it. Why is Barry any different than any other player? Our contract's expired.
Because it doesn't matter. Because the situation is, if you owe Trotz $1 million, he's going to get a job and you're not going to owe him anything because there's an offset.
So it doesn't matter?
I think it sends a funny message about what organizations are all about and what Nashville proclaimed to be, and that's 100% loyal.
What does that
100%
say?
100% loyal. The guy was there 16 years.
And he deserved
to be.
And he deserved to be.
That's loyalty.
And he deserved to be. He deserved to be. I don't think
16 years you're loyal.
So you don't have a problem with that?
Okay, he did well. He made a lot of money in Nashville. Yeah.
I don't like
it. It's a good time.
That's
the timing's perfect to just go in a different direction. And I don't know. You guys say he was fired. I just think it's just time to move on.
He wasn't promoted, Nick.
No, he wasn't.
He was not promoted, but he will have a job by training camp.
When your contract's not renewed.
He'll be another coach in the NHL.
When your contract's not renewed,
yeah.
I'm sorry, you're fired.
You think Barry wanted to go back?
I don't know.
I believe he would not want to go back. I believe he'd say 16 years, time to move on. We missed the playoffs. You're rebuilding. Let me go try to win somewhere.
He'd be
else.
One of the first coaches in the history of the NHL to say that.
Well, and typically when you let a coach.
He made his contract.
Are you done yet?
Yeah.
Okay, he made history. Good.
Are you interrupting?
That's the first time.
Don't interrupt.
Well, typically when you let a guy's contract expire and play out that last year, he gets lame duck coach status. So I don't know what the method behind it was, but certainly I think Barry Trotz will jump to the front of the line in terms of moving to another organization if coaching vacancies appear.
So do you think other teams use this as part of their evaluation of what they do with their coach? Would you make a decision?
Every team's unique.
Because Barry Trotz is now available?
Well, there's going to be a domino effect, and the first shoe's off.
Barry Trotz is a... Barry Trotz will be a sought-after coach. But Barry Trotz... For instance, the Washington Capitals may be looking to hire a head coach. Does Barry Trotz fit into that style? The Vancouver Canucks would like to play more of an up-tempo game. Does he fit into that style? So there's going to be some people say, well, if you're looking to be a competitive team, Barry Trotz is the ideal coach. If you're looking to win a Stanley Cup, is Barry Trotz the right guy? I happen to admire him a lot and think he's an excellent coach. It'll be real interesting to see how it works out with teams and the sort of people they're looking for. Does Trotz fit with the Toronto Maple Leafs with their offensive lack of defensive style? Well, maybe there's a good fit.
The Canucks wanted to play an up-tempo style when it was Mike Gillis on the radio a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and you wonder from Nashville's perspective, they've moved on from Leguan. Now they've moved on from Trotz, a big part of the history of that organization. You wonder philosophically, is David Poile wanting to steer this somewhat differently? They've never been a strong offensive team. Always great defensively, always great between the pipes.
Any of David's teams have never been a strong offensive team.
Is Barry Trotz the last coach that's fired today? Or will we see something out of Vancouver?
Today, tomorrow, we're going to see a few. We mentioned, I think, last week that we think maybe close to 11 or 12.
Adam Oates, Kirk
Muller.
Could
be in a situation.
Also tenuous circumstances.
Yeah, there's going to be some good coaches available this summer. And we, unfortunately, part of our business is 8 a year typically get fired. And it's the goofiness of the sport. And there's a lot of those teams that are firing those coaches, including the Nashville Predators, that should have a good look at their core group of players before they fire their coach.
Scotty, what happened with Peter DeBoer and the New Jersey Devils where he didn't have a contract and then Lou Lamoriello comes out and says, hey, there's a lot of misinformation there. He's under a contract for next year.
Because he just signed him. Well, that's why he's under.
That's not what his sort of is indicating.
No, he's indicating that year existed prior to, but it, certainly all indications that were coming from Pete DeBoer were that his contract was expiring. He had to wait to see if they were going to bring him back. But Lou says no.
Good decision?
I'm a huge Peter DeBoer fan. I think he's had success everywhere he's gone, especially when places when it's not expected. He can squeeze a lot out of the players. And, you know, if he was still out there, if there was a possibility, I believe the Toronto Maple Leafs would have taken a hard look at Peter DeBoer.
And now the question is, what happens with Marty Brodeur? Did he play his last game as a Devil yesterday?
Sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Well,
how do you come back after you parade around the building and shake hands with everybody in the building? How does it not have to end? I mean, it's bizarre what went on there yesterday.
Was there a better moment than what happened in Anaheim with Timo Salani getting all three stars, playing his last regular season game, and then doing a lap with J.S. Chiguer, who won a Stanley Cup with the Anaheim Ducks?
They did it right, and Timo did it right. And Timo has acted like the consummate pro, the way he's acted throughout his entire career. An impeccable reputation as a player and a leader.
And you got to know the type of player that is. It won't work with everybody, obviously, but Timo's been true to himself, true to the fans, true to the way he's conducted himself his whole career. Never really changed much. Not a moody guy, upbeat guy. It would only work that way with a guy like Timo.
And a special night with Edmonton on Saturday. Ryan Smith hanging him up in a tearful farewell.
What was the over-under on
on the crying.
Oh, that was a given.
And they said that Torts was yelling so much, you know, that it was good to see the players all come out and shake hands with Ryan. That was a really classy move by Torts and by the...
Then you've got the incident last night and Tortorella and Hartley doing it again, with Hartley starting as his tough guys again.
Boys will be boys.
Yes. You know what? What happened
kids
earlier in the season?
Children will be children.
I mean, but Hartley last night, that was really just putting the knife in there and twisting it. I'm with John Tortorella on this one, and I don't side with him too often.
Where do you think that came from, though, really? Like, who really sets the table there?
I know, but there's got to be...
Brian Burke little bit?
I'm with you. I thought it was...
Do it once.
Ridiculous. I didn't like it a little bit, and enough already.
Are you trying to get him to run down the hall again?
Yeah, seriously.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yeah. That's what you're trying to do in your Calgary.
It's not like you need it to set the tone for the game, because they're both 30 points out of the, well, whatever they are, out of the playoffs.
Get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the matchups have been determined.
It was fine.
The playoffs will start on Wednesday, and the Eastern Conference matchups look like this. Boston against Detroit as the Red Wings flip over to the Eastern Conference. Montreal will open on the road against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Columbus draws the Pittsburgh Penguins as a wild card team, and it's the old Patrick Division tilt between the Flyers and the Rangers. On the other side, the Sharks at home to L.A. Dallas visits Anaheim. St. Louis and Chicago from the Norris Division days. And Colorado wins top seed, and they will host the Minnesota Wild.
What great matchups. I mean, when you look at it, you say, okay, Detroit, Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, New York, and Philly, and
very good
LA
teams.
And San Jose.
Very good teams getting knocked out in the first round.
Does that hurt?
And can St. Louis stop the bleeding?
Lost six in a row.
They need some, they got to get some healthy bodies back.
Yeah.
And Montreal against Tampa Bay. Tell me why Canada should not get behind the only Canadian team.
I can't think of a reason.
I can't think of one either. Scotty says there's
too much animosity.
I've never got that philosophy that if you're in Toronto,
you're
in Vancouver,
Canadian
or Calgary, that you have to cheer for them because they're Canadian. There's Canadian players all over the league. Yeah. Cheer for your favorite team.
Yeah, I think Montreal is a good
somebody
story.
Somebody win the cup from Canada. Please, Scott.
Is it going to change your life in any way?
It's just nice. It's just nice.
I just think Montreal is a good story. I mean, we got the emergence of Price for the gold medal, and it's trouble in the playoffs. A team that was perceived as too small and too weak to have any playoff success, and all of a sudden they bring in a Vanek. We got the PK Subban excitement. I think it's got the makings of a real good series.
So much talk about leadership, character, culture with the Toronto Maple Leafs and their announcement today, appointing Brendan Shanahan as the president. Yet the Tampa Bay Lightning traded their captain at the deadline.
And their franchise player earlier, a buyout of Le Cavalier, that's huge impact.
And Montreal's captain is an unrestricted free agent. Yeah. They're teams that their leaders obviously don't matter as much long term.
It's not about one guy anymore. It's about the core group. And leadership groups are now 6 and 8 people in that dressing room. And it's you know, Bergevin has brought in some good leadership there. Tarian, we can say what we want.
But there's not
a
huge emotional attachment to Gianta as a captain with the Montreal Canadiens.
The captain of the Montreal Canadiens,
I
think, always takes an extra level of importance.
Are you saying he's not Jean Beliveau?
Yes, I am.
Or Rocket Richard?
Yes, I am saying that.
But he's a winner.
And credit should go to Anders Lindback, who came in for the Tampa Bay Lightning after Ben Bishop was hurt against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and has done a job.
First star of the week. Yeah, 3-0 on the week, and gaudy numbers below 2 in goals against average, and solidified that back end for this team when a lot of people were really nervous about what would happen with Bishop out and not knowing whether Bishop will even be available for the first round.
The role of the backup goaltender has dramatically changed in the NHL, I'll tell you what. It's not just a given anymore. You've got to have a good one.
Could Lindback do what John Casey did for St. Louis in 1996?
I thought it was Minnesota
Steve
he did it
Penny.
For.
No, it was St. Louis after Grant Fuhr went down.
Oh, yes.
Got him to Game 7 against Detroit before
Casey
the Eisenman
guy. Contract.
When you look at Montreal-Tampa Bay.
It's always got to be about you, eh?
Only when
I've learned from you the best. I have so learned from the best from my immediate right.
Only one Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Hockey Central panel will be on our way. to Tampa Bay tomorrow, so we won't be with you. But that,
are you guys coming this year?
Yes.
Really?
Jeff American Company.
I didn't know that.
There's going to be a domino
wow,
effect.
Wow, you guys have really made it. You stepped up.
I want to leave you with this kipperism. There's going to be a domino effect, and the first shoe is off.
No, that's not how I phrased it. Get
Let
it right.
Let the playoffs begin.
The yeah. first shoe drops.
Oh, that makes it so much better.
Pay attention.